I mean, what did you experience? What happened to you that kind of set you on this path of personal growth?
I've lived in Toledo most of my life. My mom got with a married man when I was about 5, 6 years old. My aunt and uncle kind of forced us to move out of the home due to that. So we moved to the north end of Toledo. Mm-hmm. And that is when my stepfather and my mother were both a part of trafficking me for 10 years.
Mm.
So from 6 to about 15 years old, I was trafficked by my stepfather. My mother took pictures of me and my stepfather together. I wasn't never groomed into trafficking. I was taught. There's a difference because I didn't have no reference prior to anything good prior to that. So I believed I was a prostitute. You know, he took pictures. He sold them. He would take me around his friends and sell me to his friends. And my mom was a big part of that. At the age of 15, my stepfather died. And I was like, well, I'm a prostitute. So I went on for the next 16 years, to believe that's who I was.
Okay.
So I self-promoted myself. I was drug addicted. I started using drugs at the age of 15.
Okay.
It was an easy solution to escape those 10 years of torture.
Sure.
So I would take anywhere from 15, 30, maybe 40 pills a day, drink a fifth of Jack Daniels, and be on my way. And that's the way it was for the next 16 years.
Okay.
In that 16 years, I had my first child at 19.
Okay.
When I was pregnant, I went to New York and auditioned for a pimp. Mm-hmm. And in that audition, it was basically I was stuck in a room with about 30 guys. And it was what it was.
Okay.
And I thought that's who I was. I believed that's who I was. Got pregnant again a couple years later. For my now, they're now 20-year-old twins.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually my stepfather's nephew's kids. He was actually the very first trick I turned on my own.
All right.
Without my stepfather's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
By this time, I'm strictly, you know, drug addicted. I was manager at Family Dollar. I was an FT&A.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very functioning addict prostitute. I knew how to do multiple things all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pregnant again in 2003.
Okay.
By time this time, drugs have taken over my life. I was street level at this time. That means I was working the streets. I was smoking crack. I was snorting heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I was popping pills, drinking. Any dope man that came, that's what I used.
Okay.
I got pregnant, like I said, in 2003 for my last set of twins.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I had them at 6 months along. I didn't want them. I was like, oh, God, please just kill them. You know, I believed God and the devil were the same person the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see a purpose in God because I was like, what did I do to God at 6 years old for him
right.
to torture me at this level? Mm-hmm. You know, what did I do? Steal too many sugar cubes from the coffee pot area? So I really didn't understand. So my whole life, I believed they were the same person.
Okay.
Well, my aunt and uncle, the same ones that put my mom out when I was 6 years old,
mm-hmm.
ended up taking my youngest set of twins
mm-hmm.
to Michigan with them to raise.
Okay.
In 2006, CSB got involved, which is Lucas County Children's Services. They got involved, and they basically took custody of my kids a couple years later.
Okay.
About a year and a half later, they took, well, first they made me bring Faith in Heaven back to Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
They kept trying to get me to engage in services or, you know, figure out if I was using drugs and alcohol. In the meantime, because they were brought back to Toledo, Faith in Heaven were very delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had left the girl. I was probably out of the house for like 2 weeks. So I come home and I was in crack coma. I just passed out.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up with Faith smacking me in my face and pointing to the window. Heaven fell out of a second story window.
Oh, man.
My intelligence at the level it was at, I brought her back upstairs, put a bag of peas on her head, and went back in the bedroom and got high again.
Oh, shit.
And I told everybody that she fell, you know, down the stairs.
Okay.
Probably about a month and a half later, Heaven and Faith were playing in the kitchen, Still very drug addicted. CSB is trying to figure out what's going on. I'm, you know, just getting high, doing my own thing, having not only drug dealers, but all the women in the north end of Toledo was at my house getting high. Faith and Heaven were in the kitchen one night, and Faith had pulled the coffee pot cord trying to get a ball from behind the counter. And Heaven ended up getting first, second, and third degree burns across her face, her back, her chest, her arm, her legs. That time she was rushed to the hospital. She stayed there for 30 days. Mm-hmm. That was the first time in my entire life that I was ever sober. I was sober for 28 days.
Okay.
I did stay at the hospital with her. That was probably the scariest time in my life. Mm-hmm. I was not scared for my daughter. I wasn't scared if she'd have scarring. I wasn't scared if she'd, you know, anything about her. I was scared for myself. Because for the very first time, every single act that was done to me from 6 to 31 years old was in my face.
Right.
The memories, the thoughts, the demons, they were all right there, and they were real. On the 28th day, I went and got high, mm-hmm. and I went back to the hospital. They sent her home on the 30th day. On February 22nd of that month, in February, CSB took custody of all 5 of my children.
Oh, man.
And they placed my 5 children with my mother. And that is my oldest son's birthday.
Okay.
So I wasn't allowed at the house. I was, you know, told I couldn't be there. I couldn't be around them. Well, 4 days later was Faith in Heaven's birthday. They were turning 3 years old. And I took and called my mom and said, hey, can I come see the girls? And she said, no. I said, what do you mean no? They're my kids. I mean, you know, so I was angry. I was high. And I said, you know, I'm going to come kill you and those 5 kids. And I threatened to kill her and the 5 kids, and then I was going to kill myself. I tried suicide multiple times, took 190 pills both times, and woke up both times. So my mom called the police, and my oldest son told the police how to get into the house.
Okay.
So I went to jail for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 14 days, it was probably the changing moment of my life. I never had any charges on me. I never got picked up for drugs or soliciting. I had a lot of traffic stuff, but not really dope cases or, you know, prostitution cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in jail with women that were robbing banks. And I was like, wow, I'm not a criminal at all. Well, there was some women from Lewis Avenue Baptist Church came up. She passed out Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the women said, girl, you're going straight to hell if you don't go get that Bible. That's what you need. And I'm like, girl, don't you know God and the devil are the same person? And, blah, you know, we had a little disagreement. And I was like, yeah, I have no friends in here, so I better go get that Bible and just pretend I'm reading.
Right.
So I went and got the Bible, and I had my own cell, which they're great. You get a bed, you get a desk, a chair, a toilet, a sink. I mean, I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is a little efficiency. So I went in there, and my reading skills were very limited at that time, just because when I was at school, school was not a place of learning for me. School was a respite center for me.
Okay.
At those moments that I was at school, it was basically nobody would touch me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to try to shove anything in my mouth. Nobody's going to try to take off my clothes. I can just be for these moments.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely, you know, moments of peace for me.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I looked at the Bible and just like, whatever. Well, when I was in jail, I went to court 3 different times,
mm-hmm.
the whole 14 days. And each time, hopefully you've never been in jail, but they shackle you, your feet, your arms to your waist.
Mm-hmm.
And they take you down over to the court.
Okay.
Well, I did that 3 times. Each time I went to court, they didn't seem to have me down there. I never seen the judge. I never seen the judge because my name. My name is Lee Campbell. Ann is my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
So when they called for Lee Campbell, they went right over to the men's side each and every time. So a charge that I should have been out that first time I went to court, I called God's divine intervention. I ended up staying in jail for the 14 days.
Okay.
Until they figured out, well, oh, she's over here with the women.
Oh, yeah,
that's why we couldn't find her. Exactly. So what happened in those 14 days is I ended up reading some of the Bible. The very first verse I read was, anyone that hurts the littlest one might as well cast a milestone around your neck and cast yourself in the depths of the sea. That excited me. I was like, well, hey, maybe it's not too bad. Maybe my stepdad is in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of made me excited about something. Well, I went over to sober living in jail and ended up having an opportunity to go to a new transitional house that was just opening. So I ended up getting out of jail in the 14 days, walking to South and Spencer, which is in the south end of Toledo, and I was downtown in jail. And I had an opportunity to figure out if I loved my kids. I called CSB and said, hey, you know, I'm not using drugs today. And she said, oh, Ms. Campbell, I thought you didn't use drugs and alcohol. So I put my foot in my mouth there.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing drug court. I had to do mental health, had to do a diversion program for prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get a third shift. I had to get work because I had to pay child support.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a third shift job. And within 11 months, I got custody of all five of my kids back.
Wow. How long ago
was and
that?
It will be 10 years in February.
Okay.
So, you know, I started working for a nonprofit that specialized in adult women in prostitution. And it was great. It was exactly, you know, I was like, well, this was my whole life, so maybe this is an opportunity I can give back here.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, for me, there were certain things that I couldn't do there that I thought was important. You know, I don't think that staffing should be over-programming for women. I didn't think, you know, if the woman wants to hear about Christ, I should be able to tell her about Christ, my experience with him.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2011, myself and another young woman, a sister, friend of mine, I quit my job, my full-time job, and I said, look, I got my last paycheck and my income tax coming in a couple months. I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we started Rahab's Heart.
Okay.
And Rahab's Heart is a nonprofit that specializes in adult women and youth that have been trafficked and or, you know, prostituted, self-promoting, whatever you want to call it today.
Mm-hmm.
And we started outreach where we actually go into the streets where the women are working. We go up to some of the dope houses that we know are dope houses, and we pass out personal hygiene kits, safety kits, protection, food, socks, you know, blankets in the winter, gloves, scarves, hats in the winter, and we really accept them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
We meet them where they're at to walk with them.
Right.
We're not there to bring them across the street where we're at. We're ready to walk where you're at.
Sure.
So, we do lots of different stuff at the house. We do two monthly dinners where we actually go pick the women up and bring them to the house and have a Sunday dinner on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
We do art therapy with the women. We do drop-in center hours with the women so they can come in and shower and change and get food. And we're not about – I'm not there to change nobody. I can't change nobody. That's not – I wish that was the case. I'd love for everybody to see what I see, but I'm there to walk with them until they're ready to make that change.
Sure.
I'm not unique in any way. A lot of the women that we serve have had the same story I have.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, it was some incest. There was some child molestation. There was something that led them to make this choice that this is the only way out.
Sure.
So we do lots of good stuff at Rahab's, and That's kind of all of it in a nutshell, pretty much.
Yeah, it's amazing journey you've been on, Lee. Actually, what you said at the end about not being special, I'm not sure I agree with that. But what you've done is right. You've walked that path. You've been down that road, and you chose to change your life and make yourself better and to get on a different path. And even if you're not trying to change somebody, just shining your light and showing them showing them hope makes a big difference.
It does, and that's what we really focus on, is just being in their presence, you know. somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, they was like, don't you regret some of your story? And I was like, no. I said, if I regret it, I don't believe my God is my God. You know, my story had a purpose to be used later for the greater good. And I believe that. I do Rahab's heart. I really take serving to another level. You know, I serve at all costs because somebody served me to get me to this point. And I really try to show those women that same respect and love that I was shown.
Well, it takes so much guts to take the path you're on. And, I mean, to have been basically, this is all you knew for so long, right? Starting at age six, this is all you knew. So to find a better path is a real blessing. And it's great that you're showing other people that there's a better way as well. So I see the address for Rahab's Heart at 1516 North Erie Street. Is that a facility where people can come to you?
Yeah, it's a house. It's a house in a regular neighborhood. It's actually in the same neighborhood that I was first trafficked in back when we moved to Toledo in 1981.
Okay.
So it's kind of, you know, I was kind of born here, I lived here, and I died here all at the same time.
Yeah.
I wanted to start the house in the same neighborhood. To kind of give that same, you know, hope to that next woman.
Sure. You're in Lucas County, right? Are people from other areas allowed to come in as well? So if somebody from somewhere in Michigan was struggling with it and they wanted some help, could they come to you?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And we work with other organizations, like Sisters in Shelter, which is a place in Tiffin. We would work with them if a woman is ready to make that next step and move, you know, into housing or something, we would work with them to transfer them to, you know, out to Tiffin. Because we actually don't house people here. One of our models here is, you know, a lot of programming, and especially nonprofits, they go from administrative staffing, then programming. And what we do is administrative, which is we pay our bills, our lights, gas, water, make sure we can pay our bills. Then we do programming. We don't invest into staffing because I think program is more important than staffing. We are based out of volunteers. We do have three core staff one day, maybe paid. If not, that's fine too. God has provided fully. So we kind of switch it around because I think it's more important to take care of our women than to have staffing. And we are all about serving at all costs. So our program is set up a little bit different than the normal nonprofit.
Sure. No, I understand. I've started a nonprofit, and the Rising Phoenix Awards come out of a nonprofit as well, and it's almost entirely volunteer-based. But it's just what you can do with the resources you have, more so than paying people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And one day there may be enough inflow that you can afford to staff people and to keep people healthy and happy so they can help more people. But That's part of the journey.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. This is amazing, Lee. Thank you for sharing the story.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anything else that you'd like people to know about you or what you do?
You know, not really. You know, just, you know, definitely just, you know, these women are dying. You know, everybody thinks it's a choice they're making. And it's not a choice they're making to be a prostitute.
Right.
I didn't make a choice at 6 years old. And I think there's such a stigma when it comes to adult women in prostitution. People really believe that it's a choice they're making, and it's really not. You know, it was never a choice that I was making. It was something that I was giving at a time that I had no other choices, so I believed it to be true. And that's my only concern with people and not understanding that to that degree. Because these women are dying out here by our own hands because we refuse to see them as human anymore.
Very important.
And God didn't just pick and choose who to shine his light to. You know, he shined it to everyone at the same level. Yep. And, you know, I just wish people would understand that level of forgiveness and hope and grace that God shows all of us. But these women deserve that same mercy and grace in their life.